The following podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GunnaGeek.com. And now get ready, because geekness starts in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. It's a podcast by fans exploring the weekly Marvel Comics issues and news. We're not experts, just a few lifelong Marvel comic fans that want to share our weekly love of new and classic Marvel comic issues. Featuring Lauren's Mutant Musings.
That's, you know, Jean Grey. And since Jean is in this, no spoilers, she dies. Because, let's face it, Jean always dies.
Featuring Black Adam's S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Reports.
In this issue, the Howling Commandos attack the dock. Rather than trying to take or destroy the base, they're attempting to steal the three helicarriers that are based there.
And featuring Neil's Mighty Marvel moments.
All I can say is, that Reed Richards, he's so hot right now. Confused yet? Good. Let's get into it.
This podcast is not produced, maintained, owned, or directed by Marvel Comics, the Disney Corporation, Fox, Sony, ABC, or Marvel Studios. All characters, situations, and stories are properties of Marvel Comics. Stand by for your weekly Marvel comic debriefing. I'm Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you are listening to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition.
Now it's time for your scheduled Marvel comic book debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer, your host to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. This podcast covers Marvel comics that were released for the week starting December 2nd, 2015. First of all, thank you to everyone who donated to the Comic Collector Live, CCL for Kids charity, to support the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. Everyone here at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition appreciates your support, and we'll be getting word from Steve Boyd soon on how it went when they delivered the items for donation. This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition, Black Adam's S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report covering Secret Warriors number 7 from 2009. Lauren's Mutant Musings discussing all new X-Men number 1 and Extraordinary X-Men number 3. And Neil's Mighty Marvel Moment covering the all new, all different Marvel Universe titles Daredevil number 1, Red Wolf number 1, Vision number 2, Guardians of Infinity number 1, Doctor Strange number 3, the all new, all different Avengers number 2, Invincible Iron Man number 4, all new Inhumans number 1, Spidey number 1, the totally awesome Hulk number 1, Nova number 2, and Howard the Duck number 2. And Neil's long box pick of the week is Captain America issue number 117 from 1969. As always, if you want to hear more about the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil on Netflix, Marvel's Jessica Jones on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe, as well as these same segments, please check out the main Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast found at GunnaGeek.com. And now, Black Adam's S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report.
This is Consultant Black Adam, and this week I'm digging into the S.H.I.E.L.D. archives to look at Secret Warriors number 7. This issue was originally published August 26th, 2009, and was the first issue in the God of Fear, God of War arc. This issue was written by Jonathan Hickman, with art by Alessandro Vitti. The issue starts with Fury and Daisy's team robbing a bank. No, this isn't an alternate universe or mind control situation, as we quickly learn that the bank is owned by Hydra, and they're stealing the money to help fund the Howling Commandos. This causes Baron Von Strucker to approach Norman Osborn to work together to remove their common enemy. Back at the Secret Warriors base, JT isn't happy about having to give the Howling Commandos all of the $1.2 billion they stole from Hydra. Daisy convinces Fury to let them keep some of it as a bonus, and he relents, saying each member of the team can take $20, before leaving in response to a message from Alexander. Later, JT and Alexander are on monitor duty and intercept a message for Fury. The message is from Black Widow, requesting an immediate emergency extraction. Oh, and the reason Fury left was to approach another one of his agents, John Garrett. Outside the entertaining bank robbery, this was very much a transitional issue setting up the next arc. It's a bit of a letdown after the last couple issues, but not every issue can be that action-packed. As for the change in artists for this arc, I didn't notice it until I checked the cover to prepare for this review. I had forgotten that John Garrett played a role in this series, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with him going forward.
Hey, Fury! I want my $20!
Ooh, John Garrett! We'll see where this goes. Hopefully better than in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show. And next up, Lauren's Mutant Musings.
Hey, X-Fans. There's two comics for the week of December 2nd, 2015. The first one is All New X-Men number 1 by writer Dennis Hopeless and artist Mark Bagley. First off, I have to say that I really love the lineup. We have some of the X-Men from the past, Hank, Bobby, and Warren, as well as Laura Kinney, X-23, Idy, who's one of the more recently introduced X-Men, along with Evan Sabanor, Kid Apocalypse. And along the way, they pick up original Flavor Scott from the past. The comic itself is kind of an interesting look at the concept of legacy, both in terms of what the X-Men from the past have to deal with here in the present, and with the legacy that present Cyclops is left behind in the wake of his death. And as kind of a fun note, there's a cross-country road trip, and we find out that Austin is pretty cool with mutants, as is not a surprise for the place with the city slogan, Keep Austin Weird. The second comic for the week is Extraordinary X-Men number 3 with writer Jeff Lemire and artist Humberto Ramos. We slowly start learning what happened with Cyclops and the circumstances of his death. And I'd like to say that Cerebra, which is an artificial intelligence in a sentinel body, is an absolute delight to read. I really liked the little bits of information that we're getting about what happened with Old Man Wolverine, which if you've read the original Old Man Wolverine run, you sort of know. But the conversation between him and past Jean was pretty great. And Humberto Ramos's art really worked very well for an extended and frenzied battle. That's it for this week. See you next week with more comics, and remember, mutant and proud.
Wow, what a great cast of characters in X-Men number 1. And I have to say, Delightful Cerebro must be Lauren's new coffeehouse cover band name. And now, it's time for Neil's Mighty Marvel Moment.
Hi, agents. Neil here with your Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition Marvel Moment, covering the new releases from December 2nd, 2015. Okay, Marvel fans, I haven't been this excited for a new week of comics for a while. This week, there's nothing but all new, all different Marvel titles, including a bunch of first issues, as well as a few titles that are really hitting their strides. So what are we waiting for? Let's get into it. Let's start off this week with my pick of the week, the all-new Daredevil number 1 from writer Charles Soule, with art by Ron Garney and colors by Matt Milla. This is an absolutely gorgeous issue, which gives us our first look at the post-Secret Wars Matt Murdock. Unlike some titles that didn't miss a beat and continued on after Secret Wars, a lot has changed for Daredevil. As we saw in Contest of Champions number 0 a few weeks ago, Daredevil has a new protege, Blindspot, and the combo really works. And Matt is now a prosecutor instead of a public defender. While there's a lot of necessary exposition in this issue, used primarily to bring the reader up to speed, it moves along at a good pace. And oh yeah, did I mention how awesome the art was? One of the best things to come out of the Secret Wars title 1873 was the First Nations American Indian character Red Wolf. This week, Red Wolf number 1 places the spotlight squarely on this character in his own title. While it was hard to watch the historical prejudices of the residents of Timely on the page, writer Nathan Edmondson's portrayal of the character was great. Dalibor Telagic's art was solid, but felt a tiny bit flat at times. What really grabbed me was the twist at the end, and I'm not going to spoil the surprise. Vision number 2 dropped this week, and honestly, I still don't know what to think about this title. Writer Tom King is telling a story filled with tension, veiled threats, and undercurrents of potentially bad things to come, yet it's told with such skill that it's hard not to keep reading. I'm not sure I like the new Vision as a character, but for the meantime, I can't look away, even despite the sense of dread. Guardians of Infinity number 1 came out of left field this week, as I wasn't expecting another Guardians title since we had Guardians of the Galaxy number 1 last week. This Guardians title focuses on Rocket, Ben Grimm, Drax, and Groot, off on a side mission, looking for a bit of treasure and a bit of action. What they find really took me by surprise, though. Needless to say, if you're a fan of the original old-school Guardians lineup, I guarantee you won't want to miss this issue. Doctor Strange number 3 continues the all-new, all-different look at the Sorcerer Supreme. And while the first two issues were used to establish the character, tone, and setting for this series, issue 3 starts digging into the main arc. In this issue, Steven finally stumbles onto the war on magic that has been going on in the background of the first two issues. I think this book is about to kick it into high gear, and I can't wait to see what happens next. Oh, and by the way, he also finally uses that battle axe that was teased in all the promo art for the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe, which is pretty cool. All-new, all-different Avengers number 2 picks up right where issue number 1 left off, with Captain America Sam Wilson, Spider-Man Miles Morales, and Iron Man having their butts kicked by the Chitauri champion Warbringer. And from there, the rest of this new Avengers team assembles, bringing Vision, Nova, and Ms. Marvel together, along with the mighty Thor, aka Jane Foster, joining right in the end. Like any new team, there are going to be a few kinks to work out. But this is a dynamic lineup that has some top-tier characters. And while writer Mark Waid probably had to get a bit more setup out of the way in this issue, the art by Adam Kubert was right on point. If you're looking for your Avengers fix, then look no further. The Invincible Iron Man number 4 leads off with Mary Jane Watson on the cover. However, if you're expecting a ton of MJ in this story, I'm sorry to let you know that she only pops into the scene in the final couple of pages of this issue. What you will get is an awesome fight between Tony and a bunch of techno ninjas, and the Iron Man armor variant that he uses in this fight is wicked. We also get some classic Tony Stark dialogue, which just goes to show that writer Brian Michael Bendis definitely knows how to write this character. Couple that with artist David Marquez really grooving with the rendering of the Iron Man armor, and you have a close second for my book of the week this week. But first overall, in all-out Iron Man fun. The all-new Inhumans number 1 also launched this week, and while the uncanny Inhumans title seems to be focusing on the core members of the Inhumans Royal Court, this title focuses on a few of the newer Inhumans, the New Humans, led by Princess Crystal, who's sporting a really great new look. In the wake of the Terrigen Mists being released planet-wide, this new team is part negotiator, part public relations firm, and part rapid response strike force. And writer Charles Soule balances these conflicting objectives well in a great introductory story. And yeah, the comparisons to the X-Men are going to abound, especially with Crystal's not-so-thinly-veiled comment to Gorgon about Charles Xavier. I'm excited to see where this title goes, and I bet you will be too. Spidey number 1 finally dropped this week, and if you've been picking up your comics in hard copy, you'll know that Marvel has been promoting the heck out of it across their other titles. Writer Robbie Thompson and artist Nick Bradshaw have been given the responsibility to look back at a younger, lighter Spider-Man as they revisit his backstory in the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. Issue number 1 sets the stage as far as tone and structure for this title, and while it's officially rated ages 12 and up, it has the feel of an all-ages title which has something for everybody. Even the most grizzled Marvel veterans will definitely get a bit nostalgic when they go through this issue. The totally awesome Hulk number 1 also finally hit the shelves, and I'm convinced that Amadeus Cho is the Hulk for a new generation. He's super smart and can control his gamma powers to turn into the Hulk at will, but the differences don't stop there. Amadeus brings a definite sense of fun into this Hulk title, and I'm not sure we've ever seen the Hulk in this light before. Moreover, as a Korean-American himself, writer Greg Pak, the co-founder of the Amadeus Cho character, continues to reflect the diverse mosaic of North American culture as it exists today. And look, I get it, Bruce Banner will always actually be my Hulk. But just like each generation has their own James Bond, I'm open to seeing where this title goes and to the experiences that a new creative team brings to this classic character. Nova number 2 continues the story of Sam Alexander teamed up with his dad in a title that hints at a bit more going on behind the scenes. Writer Sean Ryan is doing a great job balancing Sam's home life with his role as Nova, and while his reactions to having his dad back in the picture tend to distract from Sam's character at times, it's understandable and gives us a side of the character that we haven't necessarily seen before. Corey Smith's art was solid, and the colors just pop off the page. And while I haven't been blown away by this title, I'm hopeful that, like many of the others in the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe, that with the background story out of the way, the story will take off from here. The only title that I didn't get a chance to pick up this week is Howard the Duck number 2 from writer Chip Zdarsky with art by Veronica Fish. So if you did, and you want to share your thoughts, pick up the phone and leave the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew a voicemail or hit me up on Twitter at @NeilIsn'tWitty. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Well, that wraps up the new releases for this week, so now let's crack open the Mylar and head into the long boxes and take a look at a classic back issue. This week, we're going way back to 1969 to take a look at Captain America issue 117, written by none other than Stan Lee himself, with pencils by Gene Colan and inks by Joe Sinnott. This issue continues the arc where the Red Skull has swapped bodies with Steve Rogers, using the power of the Cosmic Cube, and has banished Cap to the Island of Exiles, where he expects Steve to meet his doom. While Cap is on the island, the Red Skull basically just hangs out in New York, enjoying the celebrity attention, posing for photos with young women, getting free hotel rooms, meals, and cab rides. Instead of dying on the island, though, Cap meets Sam Wilson for the first time. And as we all know, Cap and the Falcon will go on to form a friendship which has lasted to this day. The C-plot in this book revolves around MODOK and AIM scheming to get the Cosmic Cube back from the Red Skull. And it's cool to see how the classic beekeeper design for the AIM scientists has endured since the late 1960s. Captain America number 117 is set firmly in the Silver Age of comics, and while the sophistication of today's comics can make us look back on some of the older titles and poke fun at the art and the stories, there's no denying that we wouldn't have any of the awesome Marvel goodness that we're all enjoying in print, on the small screen, and in theaters, if not for the ability of Stan Lee and his colleagues to craft stories and characters that would continue to resonate with people all these years later. So again, that's Captain America number 117 from September 1969 from the iconic Stan Lee, featuring the first appearance by the Falcon, Sam Wilson. Phew, that's it for another week, True Believers. So as always, if I've missed anything or you want to share your thoughts, head on over to the Gunna Geek forums or grab a phone and leave the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew a voicemail. Later, guys!
Ooh, I haven't given up on Nova yet, and I'm looking forward to seeing how Amadeus Cho develops as the Hulk along with the rest of the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. A special thank you very much to Adam as he continues to report on the 2009 Secret Warriors run. If you liked his background music this week titled The Greater Good Epic Cinematic Trailer by Christopher Fisher Audio, found at pond5.com, please let Adam or I know. We'd love to hear what you think. And Adam is our S.H.I.E.L.D. comic specialist. So if you have a comment or question on S.H.I.E.L.D. comics, Adam can be found on Twitter at starsaber_222. Thank you very much to our resident mutant, Lauren, the lab rat supervillain. Lauren continues to bring us her thoughts on the all new, all different X-Men comic titles. You stay mutant and proud, Lauren. Thank you very much to Agent Haley from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast for providing the awesome intro and outro voiceovers, despite having the plague this week. Haley's pretty busy these days with the crescendo to all the great TV shows that she is covering on the Gunna Geek Network as they reach their mid-season finales. Make sure you give her a shout-out on Twitter at Awesome Engineering Girl, spelled A-W-S-M-E-N-G-R. GRL. And thank you, listeners. We sincerely appreciate you listening and downloading both this podcast and the main Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast.
All of us involved want to hear from you on how you like the podcasts or your thoughts about Marvel Comics in general, including your take on the new Daredevil title. So please check out all the ways to contact us in the show notes or in the outro of this show, or you can always hit me up on Twitter at Stargate Pioneer. Until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer. Bye!
Thank you for listening to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. If you want to contact us, you can tweet us at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Swing by our website, www.legendsofshield.com. Look up our Tumblr page at legendsofshield.tumblr.com. Check out our Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. YouTube channel, or send us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. Intro and outro music, titled Epic Dramatic Track, 2014 version by Star Sound, Black Adam's S.H.I.E.L.D. Mission Report background music titled Epic Motivation by Rocka Music, and Neil's Mighty Marvel music titled Epic Cinematic Orchestral Background Music by Cinescore can be found at pond5.com. Lauren's Mutant Musings background music titled The Descent by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not represent Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition. Marvel Comics are the property of Marvel. No infringement is intended. We will see you on our next exciting installment of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition.